Psalm 38, and you know, if you need a handout, lift your hand up high. Our ushers would be glad to give you one of those. If you want to, use the Pew Bible there in front of you. And you know, one of the things that about Crossroads, and that is we have two services. We have a 9:30, which is generally the fullest of the two. It's usually packed. The 11 o'clock we have here, which also is very well attended. We'll have over 1,000 people usually on a Sunday morning. So we all come from different backgrounds. We're all at different stages of our growth process. I know that when I trusted the Lord as my Savior, I couldn't have told you one verse in the Bible. I did not know anything. Some of us come from backgrounds where we're used to having our own Bible and carrying it to church. Other people, that's a foreign concept. They have never been to a church where they would carry a Bible. I don't even remember having a Bible as I grew up. We never carried our Bibles to church. We're all from different backgrounds. Some of you, you can quote every book of the Bible in order from Genesis to Revelation, all 66. Some of you, you're like I was. You don't know Romans from Genesis, right, where it's at. There's others. You know maybe most of the New Testament. Maybe you know some of the Old Testament books. And so what we do at Crossroads is we try to remember that we're all at different levels. And so that's why we have Pew Bibles there in front of you, so you can feel free to use that. In fact, we even put the Pew Bible page number. If you look at your handout, it's up in the upper right-hand corner. And this morning, Psalm 38 is found in the Pew Bible page number 626. 626. That's going to take you to Psalm 38. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor Dan, I thought we were studying 2 Samuel, the life of David. Well, we are. But David wrote a lot of the Psalms during that time period. This is an example, Psalm 38, of a psalm that David wrote when David was feeling like a very guilty man. He was, in fact, very guilty. In fact, the guilt, the weight of the guilt nearly had crushed David. It had almost destroyed him. We know that David had committed the sin of adultery with another man's wife. We know that David had been involved in a lot of things he should not have been involved in. And he was, in this psalm, he's suffering under the mammoth weight of a guilty conscience. And buddy, I mean, it almost had David down for the count. You remember last week, look at verse 1. We're getting a glimpse into the mind and heart of David as he's dealing with this guilt. And he says in verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thine hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. You know what it means if your heart's disquieted? If your heart's quiet, that means it's at peace. That means there's tranquility there. If your heart's disquiet, that means that it's upset or it's fearful or it's stressed out. And that was David. He was suffering under the weight of this guilt, and the guilt had caused disquietness in his heart. He wasn't a man who was at rest. Because of guilt, we're often overcome by feelings of punishment, rejection, and isolation. And even as a believer, if you know Christ, guilt can cause us to doubt God's forgiveness. It can cause us to doubt God's grace and doubt His love for us. I think one of the deepest needs of human beings is how to deal with guilt. I'm convinced after being here for over 20 years that people need to know how to deal with guilt. Because so many times we become confused and we become frustrated and eventually we give up trying to deal with the guilt. Maybe you feel guilty because of things that you've done in your past before you even knew the Lord. And boy, those things haunt you. And you think, man, I can't believe that I did those things. And the guilt just, oh, it's eating you up. You think about it. Maybe you feel guilty about things that you've done since you knew the Lord. And you think, man, how could a Christian do some of the things that I've done? And how could a Christian do that? How could I be saved and do those things? And you look back and you think, oh, man. And there's just disquietness in your heart because of the guilt. Thankfully, God's Word instructs us in how to handle guilt. But we have to understand there are two different kinds of guilt. And this isn't in your notes. It's not in your hand. I just want you to look at the screen. There are two different kinds of guilt. Number one, there is a genuine guilt. Now, that comes when we violate the Bible. This is really the believer, the Christian, who knows the Lord. They violate God's Word. And what does the Holy Spirit do? We learned last week, Holy Spirit inside of you convicts you. And this is a good thing. Genuine guilt's a good thing because we said it's supposed to be a positive motivator to bring us to our knees, to before the Lord, and to get our heart right. And so there's a genuine guilt that comes when we violate God's Word, and then the Holy Spirit inside us is grieved, and that produces conviction or guilt. But then number two, you notice there is there's a false guilt. And a false guilt, that's derived from misconceptions or feelings that are not based upon God's Word. The first guilt comes from the Holy Spirit inside of us. The second guilt comes from Satan. We feel guilty for things that really we should not feel guilty for, but Satan heaps the guilt. For example, should you feel guilty for things you did before you got saved, before you even knew the Lord? Is it right to go through life plagued with guilt for things that you did before you even knew the Lord? Of course not. That's false guilt. That's not God doing that to you. That's Satan beating you up with that stuff. See? So there's a genuine guilt. There's a false guilt. Now, Psalm 38. This is the prayer of a truly guilty man. This prayer came after David had committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. You remember the story. We studied it. 2 Samuel, right? 11. He committed adultery while her husband was out on the battlefield. He commits adultery with this woman. She gets pregnant. Then David tries to cover up his sin by setting up circumstances to where Uriah would be killed out on the battlefield. David was a guilty man. And this is the prayer of a guilty man. Now, in last week's message, we examined verses 1 through 14, and we saw how that David's sin had crippled him emotionally, physically, spiritually. It had crippled him in every way. That's what sin does. Look down with me at verse 10. Verse number 10. David cries out, and he says here, we get a glimpse into his mind, into his heart. And he says in verse 10, my heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it's also gone from me. Verse 13, but I as a deaf man heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. David is a man who has been so crippled by his guilt. He's crippled emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. This is a crippled man in this psalm. We learned last week that sin should be avoided at all cost. And we learned last week, what's God's answer to sin? It's like a rattlesnake. What do we do when we're faced with temptation? What do? We flee. We flee like a rattlesnake. We flee from sin. And we studied out, we saw the Bible says, flee fornication, flee youthful lust, abstain from the appearance of evil. We looked at Potiphar, his Potiphar's wife and how she tried to seduce Joseph. And what did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife came at him? My wife helped me with that illustration. That was the first time I ever had my wife help me with a skit on the platform. And yesterday I said, how did it feel? 17 years I've been the pastor here at this church, and it's the first time you ever got to help me with a skit on the platform. She said, yeah, thanks. She said, you didn't let me be Ruth or Esther. I had to be Potiphar's wife. Thanks a lot. She did it well, though, I tell you. But what did Joseph do? Y'all tell me. When Potiphar's wife came at him, what did he do? Yeah, he fled. He fled. That's God's answer. But you know what I'm here to discuss today? What if it's too late? What if temptation has come in the past, we didn't flee, and we've already sinned, man? It's already happened. Now we're trying to deal with it. Well, then what? There's certain things that happen. How much of your past can you go back and change? None of it. You know, like they say in sports, man, it's in the books. It's in the books. There are things that we have done. It's in the books. You're not going to go back and be able to change the past. But you know what's cool? You can change the way you view the past. That you can change. You can change the way you view those things in your past. And you know what? When we talk about past may have been something you did last week. Did you know yesterday's past? Sometimes I'll tease my kids and I'll say, yeah, I'll be like, yeah, I said, something that happened just this last week. I'll say, yeah, back when you were younger? No, Dad. No, it was last week. Well, weren't you younger then? Well, yeah. No, past is past. Yesterday's past. And so how, if we didn't flee, which is what we should do, and it's what we preached last week, and we could alleviate, all that stuff in the first 14 verses, and what sin does to us. Remember last week? It worries us, it wearies us, it wastes us, all those things. Well, but if we didn't flee, and we did succumb to sin, and there are issues in our past, how do we deal with the guilt? That's what we want to talk about today. How do we, and fortunately, this psalm is going to show us how to deal with those feelings of guilt and condemnation. Let's learn. The first principle is a very important one, and it may be the only one we get through today. Number one in your handout, here's the very first principle that you need to get. If you're going to overcome guilt, number one, and again, this message is aimed at believers, Christians, talk to God with confidence. Talk to God with confidence. I want you to look with me at verse number 15, and I want you to notice after 14 dark, bleak verses, all of a sudden this psalm starts to take a turn at verse 15. And all of a sudden now, we see David into his mind and heart, all of a sudden things begin to turn. And in verse 15, he says, for in thee, O Lord, do I what, church? Hope. Praise God, there's hope for the guilty soul. This man is guilty. 14 verses of misery, heartache, emotionally, physically, he just feels crippled. But then he says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Aren't you glad there's hope for the guilty soul? There's hope today. And then he says there in verse 15, thou wilt what? Hear, O Lord my God. Did you know the word hope there does not mean a wishy-washy desire? We use hope that way. Well, boy, I hope that the lines aren't long at the restaurants today after church. I hope they're not too long. And we use hope as a wishy-washy desire. That is not the use of the biblical word. The biblical word hope carries the idea of a sure bedrock assurance. I mean something that you can take to the bank. It's a firm hope. It's a firm, steadfast assurance. For example, Paul said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Again, hope is something in the Bible that we fully anticipate, fully expect. It's a firm assurance. Well, notice he says here, look at verse 15, For in thee, O Lord, do I hope, thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. So what he's saying is, we have a firm assurance that God hears us when we pray. Now, why is that an issue? Because in your handout it says, Satan will use our guilt to convince us that God no longer hears our prayers. You ever been there? Why are you praying? God's not going to hear you. God's not listening to you. Man, he's so sick and tired of you messing up and then going to him. He's turned a deaf ear. Man, your prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back. You are wasting your time. God is through with you, man. You've used up his grace. You've used up his mercy. He's done. He's through. He doesn't want to hear from you anymore. And Satan brings these thoughts into our mind. Now, that's where a believer has to be rooted and grounded in some sound doctrine from the Bible, or they're going to be tossed around and they're going to be shaken. Listen, you cannot operate your Christian life on the basis of your feelings. Your feelings are just that. They're feelings. They're up, they're down, they're here, they're there. You got to have something more rock solid than that to base your Christian life on. Your Christian life will not function effectively on the basis of ignorance. You've got to know the Bible. You got to know truth. That's why we make such a big deal about it around here. That's why we have services Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible Institute. That's why we have so many Bible studies, life groups. It's because your Christian life is only going to function effectively in proportion to how you know truth. And that's why we emphasize, study the Word, read the Word, keep your nose in the Word. Man, we don't say that just to say it. We say it because it's important, because your Christian life was not going to function effectively any other way. You've got to know what you believe. You got to know why you believe it. Because if you don't, you'll be tossed around, shaken, and you'll be, your feelings will tell you this, and your feelings will tell you that. And you know, that ain't going to work. We got to know the Word, folks. You know, in this dispensation, and don't let that word scare you, dispensation just means the time period we live in. You see, in the Bible, you've got several different dispensations. That is, God is dealing with mankind a little differently as you go through the Bible. Why? Because the Bible was given out in increments, in stages throughout history. And as God gives out His Word, then His dealings with mankind change as He gives more and more of His Word out. Today we live in what's called the dispensation of grace. Okay, in other words, we're living on this side of the cross, not that side over there like they were in the Old Testament. We're living on this side of the cross where Jesus Christ has made a full and complete atonement for sin on the cross for you and I. Now, in this dispensation that we live in today, here's what the Bible teaches, and we're going to look at it. But it's in your handout. It says there, God does not hear our prayers because of what we have done, but He hears us because of who we are. He hears us because of who we are. He doesn't hear you because you kept a list of stuff. And God says, okay, you kept the list. Okay, what do you want? Can you imagine if my son, who's on the front row here, he's 14, and there's him, oh, there's Caleb, he's here, 12. And can you imagine if one of my boys here comes to me when I come home from work, and maybe they got tears in their eyes, and they say, Dad, I need to talk to you. I say, well, wait just a minute. I reach in my back pocket, and I pull out the list. Did you brush your teeth today? Did you wash your hands? Did you wash behind your ears? People behind my boys are laughing. Maybe they didn't wash them. Did you make your bed? Did you vacuum the floor? Did you dust your dresser? You know, did you take the garbage out? And I go through this whole big long list of stuff, and then then I find that, oh, you didn't do that one? You go do it, and then you can talk to me. Is that the way I'm going to operate with my kids, yes or no? Of course not. You know what? They don't talk to me. They don't have access to talk to me because of a list of stuff they've done. They have access to talk to me because why? They're my what? They're my kids. They're my children. So they have that access. God doesn't hear you because of what you've done. You kept the list. He hears you because of who you are. If you're saved today, you know who you are? If you know the Lord, you are God's accepted child that has been placed in Christ. I said you are God's accepted child who has been placed what? In Christ. Say those two words again. In Christ. That's your position. You're in Christ. He's in you. In fact, the Bible says you've been made one with Him. You are bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Ephesians 5:30 says. Because of that, it says in your handout, because of your position, because of who you are, you have complete access to your Heavenly Father. You have complete access to your Heavenly Father. You say, prove it. All right, look at the bottom of your handout. Okay, look at the bottom there, Ephesians 2:18. For through Him, the Him is Christ, Jesus Christ. For through Jesus Christ, we both, that means Jew or Gentile, that means anybody who's saved, anybody who knows the Lord. For through Him, we both, we could even use the word all, because that's the context. We all have access by one Spirit. Now look at this. Through Christ, I have access by one Spirit unto who? The Father. According to that verse, do I have access to God? Yes or no? And why do I have it? Because I kept a list? No, why do I have access? What's the first three words? For through Him. That Him is Christ. It's through Jesus Christ that I have access. Look at the screen up here. Ephesians 3:12. The whom is Christ again. In Jesus Christ, notice, He's writing to Christians. We have, say it with me. Come on now, wake up or we'll never get to lunch. We have boldness and access with, boy, that's good. By my faith. That's the good news. Has nothing to do with my faith. My boldness and my access and my confidence to go to the Father has nothing to do with my faith. The word faith there means fidelity, faithfulness. My access to God has nothing to do with my fidelity, my faithfulness, my sinlessness, my goodness. Notice it says that we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, and the Him is Jesus Christ. Based on His faithfulness and the fact I'm in Him and He's in me, I've got boldness, access with confidence. Good place to say amen right there. Whew. It's good stuff. It's important that you know that. 1 Timothy 2:5, look at this one. It says, this is a common verse, a lot of you know it, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Yeah, the man Christ Jesus. He's the reason why I have access. He's my mediator. Aren't you thankful for that today? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through some other man to talk to God? Aren't you thankful that when you really need to talk to the Father about something? Aren't you glad that you don't have to come over to the church and go running in the office door and go, "Where's Pastor Dan?" Well, why? I got to talk to God. And you know, Pastor Dan, he's got to get me access into God. He's got a special line to God, so I got to talk to Pastor Dan so I can talk to God. Well, he's not here. He's down at the restaurant. And man, I'm down there eating and you come busting in the restaurant. Pastor Dan! What? Got to talk to God. Can you help me? Whew. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that? Aren't you glad you got boldness, confidence, and access because of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He gives us that access. Here at the office, my 21-year-old son, he leads the singing in the 9:30 service, Clint. A lot of you know Clint. He's 21, and right now he's preaching over in junior church. He's our children's director. And you know, picture this is my office, right? And I in the morning, I'm working, I'm studying and praying in the mornings. And the staff know that. And so unless it's an emergency, they don't try not to bother me because they know I'm studying and I'm praying in the morning times. And so picture, this is my office, okay? All right, ready? This is Clint. Hey, Dad, I need some half and half for my coffee. I'm going in here to get it. He comes busting in. Did you know no one else in the office building does that? Did you know that everybody else in the building, they go, and they wait for a come in? Not Clint. He comes busting in, Dad, I need to talk to you. Plops down on my couch. All right, son, what's up? He does that a lot, you know. But you know what? That's okay. And did you know I've never rebuked him for that, and I've never told him not to do it? You know why? Why does he feel that he has such open access to me? Why? Because he's what? He's my son. He's my child. I want to submit to you, that's the kind of access you have to your Heavenly Father. You're his kid. And you have that access to God. And you know what? There are times when baby Clint has dropped the ball at the house with some jobs or duties that he has, or maybe we're frustrated with him over something, but you know what? That doesn't keep him from busting in. And you know what? Sometimes we mess up, we sin, but you know what? Our access to God has nothing to do with our performance. You know what? Our access to God has nothing to do with your performance, but it has everything to do with Jesus Christ, your Savior. You have been made close to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. And it's by that same blood that we have boldness to enter into God's presence. See, I got that boldness because of the blood of Jesus. Not because of Dan Proctor and because I was good or I did this or that. It's because of Jesus Christ. So my point is, if I feel guilty, I know I can go to God and talk with confidence. Now, you know, this is again where right division comes in. Because you're going to get somebody that's going to come to you at work tomorrow and you're going to tell them about this message and what a blessing it is to know that you got access to God 24/7 because of Jesus Christ, not based on your performance. And somebody at work is going to try to throw cold water all over you and say, oh, but Isaiah 59 says your sins have separated, your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you and he will not hear you. And that has nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. That's the Old Testament, and that has to do with Israel under that law system. Praise God, we're not under the law, we're under grace. We're living in the dispensation of grace. So they quote Isaiah 59, try to throw cold water all over you. That's where you better be rooted and grounded in how to rightly divide this book and know who God's talking to. He's not talking to you in Isaiah 59. You can learn from it. We can gain wisdom from it. But he's not talking directly. He's talking to Israel under their law system. So you got to know that. You got to know that in this dispensation, we have access with confidence and boldness through the faith of him. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through his fidelity, his faithfulness. Look with me. Go with me to the New Testament, Hebrews. And by the way, that's Pew Bible, page number 1245. It's a long way from Psalms. You're going to head all the way to the back of your Bible, towards the back, to Hebrews chapter 4. That's Pew Bible, page number 1245. 1245. And that's going to take you to Hebrews 4. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. You know, I hear people talk about, oh, you better keep short accounts with God. Oh, you better keep short accounts, brother. Because, you know, if you don't confess and name every sin, then, boy, I tell you what, something's going to happen in your life, and you're going to need to talk to God, and you're not going to be able to get through to him because of that sin in your life. And what they're doing is they're going back to Israel's Old Testament system where they did keep short accounts, where that was necessary. There hadn't been a complete atonement made for sin yet. There hadn't been a sacrificial, complete, satisfactory atonement made for sin. And I'm glad to be able to tell you that, you know, people talk about, you better be on praying ground. I've had people tell me that. Or you better be on praying ground. And what they mean is, you better make sure all your sins are confessed, make sure everything, because otherwise God ain't going to hear you. And they're just taking Old Testament doctrine, and they're trying to scare people with that. Let me tell you something, folks. If you know Jesus Christ and His blood's been applied to your heart, how much more praying ground can you be on than that? You got access to Him, the Bible says, because of the faith of Him, not you. And you know, that whole thing, it just, you know, it's all performance-based. You keep the list, perform, God will hear you. You don't keep the list, He's not going to hear you. It's not true. It's just not true. You can talk to the Lord with confidence. In Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says here, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now notice, because of our high priest, because of who's up there, it says, let us therefore, based on what He's done, based on the fact He's without sin, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to what? Help in time of need. Aren't you glad you can go to Him in your time of need? And it's His sinlessness that gives you that entrance to God. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to the same book, chapter 10. And a great verse here, verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. It says there, having therefore brethren, now notice this word, I underlined it in my Bible. Having therefore brethren, what? Boldness to enter into the holiest. That's where God the Father dwells. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by our good works. Is that what it says? No. What is the basis of my boldness? It's the blood of Jesus. See how the blood has given you entrance? Do you guys see that today? Does that encourage you to know that you have boldness based on the blood of Jesus Christ? Doesn't that encourage you to know that? See what good sound doctrine will do? It establishes your heart. Man, it just gets you rooted. It gets you grounded. Now you don't have to. By the way, if I had to confess every one of my sins in order for God to hear me, you think there's a chance I might forget one? Yeah. Well, then I'm really lost, you know, because unless somehow I can remember it, I guess He's never going to hear me again. You know, it's ludicrous. You know, I mean, what if I forget one? Or what if I sinned and didn't even realize I sinned? Man, I've done a lot of that. I've sinned, but I was so young in the Lord, I didn't even know I was sinning. Found out years later, I can't believe I did that. That sure was wrong, but I didn't even know at the time it was wrong. You know, so, you know, no, it's in your handout. Let me give you a thing here. In your handout, it says, God hears us not based on our attainment, but based on Christ's blood atonement. And so many times we get it the other way around. We think God hears us and we think, oh man, I'm in trouble. Man, I tell you what, I sure haven't had a good day today. Boy, I know God ain't going to hear me. I might as well not even pray. Man, I messed up so many times today. Man, I better not even pray because God ain't going to hear me. He'll be repulsed if I even come before Him. Or we think, well, man, I've had a good day. Man, I got up this morning. I read my Bible. I was even nice to my wife. And man, I've been nice to everybody at work. And boy, I tell you, man, I need to pray because I know God's really going to hear me today because, man, I've been good. And isn't that the way we think sometimes? God doesn't hear you based on your attainment. He hears you because of His Son's atonement, what He did for you on the cross. Don't ever feel like, I've sinned, I'm guilty, and I can't pray. God ain't going to hear me. That is a lie from Satan. As a believer who is in Christ, you have unlimited access to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Next week, we'll come back. We'll hit the rest of this on how to overcome guilt. But I just want you to get that today. Let's stop right there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just want you to get that principle today. That if you're saved, if you know the Lord, you can talk to God with confidence. Not because of what you've done, but because of who you are in Christ. You can talk to God with confidence. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You don't know for sure that you even know the Lord. You're not sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven. You're not sure that you're saved. Hey, if you're not sure, why don't you get that settled today? Would you come here in a moment and would you let us take the Bible and show you how you could know the Lord? Would you come and would you be willing to just come and let us take the Bible and show you how you can know Christ in a personal way? Not a head knowledge, a heart knowledge. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? You say, boy, I'm not sure. As soon as we stand, why don't you come? We'll take the Bible and show you. Take you aside privately. Not going to embarrass you in any way. We'll take you aside privately. We got a lot of classrooms back here. We connect women with women, men with men, and they'll take you back, show you from the Bible how you can know that you're going to heaven. So I'm going to pray. After I pray, we're going to stand. We're all going to stay in an attitude of prayer. Nobody's going to be looking. Why don't you leave your seat? Come. Let us take the Bible and show you. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we can get rooted and grounded in some sound doctrine. Lord, thank you we can take your word and rightly divide it and know that in this dispensation of today, we have complete access to you because of the faith of Jesus Christ, because of what he has done, because of what he has accomplished, because of who he's made us. We have that access to you. Thank you. Thank you. And Father, I pray for anyone here maybe this morning that just doesn't know for sure that they know you in a personal way. I pray they'll come and let us take the Bible and show them today how they can know. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.